Hallelujah. Well, Acts chapter 1, verse 1, we're going to begin our teaching on Acts for the next couple of weeks. Verse 1 says this: "The former treaties I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, through the Holy Ghost, he gave commandment unto his apostles whom he had chosen." Now, the Gospel of Luke was also written by him. And you don't have to turn there, but in Luke 1:4, Luke says, this is the reason why he wrote the Gospel of Luke to Theophilus: "That thou mayest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." So the purpose of the Gospel of Luke was to give him some instruction in the life and ministry of Jesus. Amen? Amen. But in Acts, Luke does some Gentile to write scripture. And the fascinating thing, if you take all of the words in the Gospel of Luke and in Acts together, Luke is responsible for 25% of the New Testament. Ain't that something? Hallelujah. Well, now, again, he writes to Theophilus. And he says, the former treaties, and when he says the former treaties, he saw himself alive after his passion or after the crucifixion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So now, after the Gospel of Luke, he writes this treaty. He's writing to Theophilus. He said, now I want to tell you what happened after this. After the resurrection, Jesus showed himself. He was unrecognizable. Isaiah says his vesture was marred more than any man, so that he didn't even appear to be human. That same Jesus showed himself alive. In other words, the cross wasn't nothing but a thing. That's all. He said, been there, done that. It was ugly at the time. But the Bible says that he endured the cross for the joy. Start to panic. Think God forgot all about you. But see, if you don't pay attention, listen. Now, I'm not talking about don't look when you're crossing the street. Okay, if an 18-wheeler coming, you best not step out there, all right? Ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about don't let your circumstances dictate how you react, how you respond. Orphans that will be released as you worship God, and it will anesthetize the pain. Yes. Now, see, I'm not your regular typical Christian, because I get questions when I read the Bible. I get answers, but I get questions. And sometimes the questions folks is slow. So Jesus had to do several things. Come on. Because they wasn't going to take his word for it. They be thinking he a goat. You know, someone was superstitious. Jesus had to eat with some of them, let them know, see, a spirit can't eat food like this. Amen. See, I mean, can you imagine if Jesus was doing that today, man? We had by the word of their testimony. You know why testimonies are so important? Because it makes you rehearse what God has already done. And see, as you continue to rehearse what God has already done, it gives you confidence in what he's going to do. And see, the enemy wants you to get all confused about that. But see, the next time you're dealing in a situation, rehearse a past event where God brought you through. And hiding. But Paul says it was brethren that seen him. See, Jesus wasn't trying to impress the lost. He was hanging out with those folks that was already following him. See, you know, God is not trying to impress the unsaved by itself. He'll try to impress them through us. why is he taking 40 more days to preach to them things pertaining to the kingdom of God? Think about it. Now, you know, in Matthew's gospel, chapter 12, Jesus says this, and he said, from the days of John the Baptist, and the violent take it by force. Now, I want to read to you a different translation of that same verse. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven presses forward forcefully, and the forceful people snatch it. Y'all get that? The kingdom of heaven presses forward forcefully. Kingdom acts like. See, the kingdom is everywhere. God is being obeyed and his will is being executed. Anytime you are obeying God, you are operating in the kingdom. And anytime you're doing the things God has told you to do, you are bringing the kingdom to the place where you're doing it. Prayed for him. They brought God's kingdom into that man's house. See, every time we are doing what God has called us to do, we are bringing the kingdom on the scene. And the kingdom is where the king has dominion. Now, one of the things you need to understand is that Jesus made this statement about the kingdom is coming. As a matter of fact, he was having such a good time with the kingdom of men when Jesus showed up and he tempted him, he said, listen, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth because they've been delivered into my hands. I got them all. And see, Jesus, when he said up until now, what Jesus is making there in verse 12 of Matthew is a declaration of war. You done had it, but the kingdom is now coming forcefully. And another time when you want to talk to hear what somebody said, when they get ready to get caught up and go to heaven, while you watching, you want to make sure you done made sure, because you don't want to go back and say, now what was that he was talking about before he left? Because whatever Jesus talks about, he know he going. And they are not going to see him in the flesh for quite a while. So he don't have time to chit-chat. They're going to be getting instruction from the Holy Ghost, which means that they're going to operate in kingdom principles on a new dimension. Now, I want to read on, and we're going to come back some more of this kingdom stuff. And verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. But basically, what you're saying, from the beginning, I told y'all that John used water. But the new kingdom principle is fire. See, now, you got to understand, there's some things you can clean with water. But fire does some new stuff. See, there's some things it takes fire to get rid of. Fire. Oh, y'all ain't. Now, see, y'all, we take some of that stuff for light. But if you think about it, now, before we had fluorescent light bulbs and the incandescent light bulbs. You know, you used to light candles. Now, why did you start a fire? She's still working because I'm a hard case. I'm one of them people you got to tell something 15 times before I get it. Now, fellas, it ain't just me. Men are slow by nature. We learn, but it's slow. And that's why women got to have patience. You think we are? We the same people. You just ain't got to change our diaper. But we still making messes. We're a little on slow side. Okay? And one of the things the Sister Woods has taught me is that I'm Pastor Woods wherever I go. I don't like that. Sometimes there are days I don't want to be Pastor Woods. Y'all understand that, right? I can't even have a fruit punch with an umbrella sticking out of it. Because I'm Pastor Woods. And you know how aggravating that is? I might want me a little umbrella. But just as sure as I got that umbrella sticking out my fruit punch. Right. So I can't even have an umbrella in my fruit punch. Because wherever I go, I'm Pastor Woods. Well, let me tell you something. If you say wherever you go, you represent the kingdom of God. Whether you feel like it or not, whether you want to or not, you are a kingdom representative and you are light. But I'm getting ready or something. Now I'm going to say, the bartender walks up to me and you know the first thing he says to me? Yeah, he said, why are you here? You don't belong here. Now, what you supposed to do with that? Somebody said leave. I tell you what, obvious, you don't belong there. Be afraid when it start looking like you belong there. Because that means you've been hanging out a long while. That means that ain't your first visit. All right, I'm going to stop fussing. Okay, but listen, all right. But he takes us back to John the Baptist, and he talked about John used water, okay? But when he talked about you're going to be brought out the kingdom of God, he ain't even saying nothing about Israel. Now, why they going to start? If he wanted to talk to them about the kingdom of Israel, he had 40 days. Don't you think he'd have mentioned it? But all they see is once Israel, because they are focused on one thing. Whatever God going to do is going to be all about Israel. And Jesus says something, and there's some stuff he ain't going to tell you because the secret things belong to God. Now, why don't God want you to know some stuff? First of all, because you talk too much. Secondly, because it ain't your business. You ain't Israel. Ain't got nothing to do with you. And God made it clear in his word. He say, I know he ain't coming at that time. He might come 10 minutes early or 10 minutes later, but I know he ain't coming at that time. Because if you guessed it, it ain't it. And the reason why God don't want you to know when he's coming is so you'll act like he's coming all the time. Because you know, if you knew Jesus was coming tomorrow at 12:30 in the afternoon, you'd act like a... Before the crucifixion, they asked Jesus the same question. And he said he didn't know, neither did the angels know, but the Father. But when they asked him after the resurrection, he ain't say he ain't know. He just said, that's in the Father's hands. It ain't for you to know. Oh, y'all ain't. See, why? He's not. Listen, so in the next verse, first part is, there's some stuff you ain't supposed to know. The next thing is, but there are some things for you to receive. There's some information you ain't going to have, but there's some power you're going to receive. And here's the thing I want you to understand, okay? The word power is, of course, the word dunamis, but it also means ability. So let me put the word ability in it. But you shall receive ability after the Holy Ghost. And that job is, and you shall be witnesses unto me. See, the purpose of that ability is so that we can be a witness. Now, for 3 years, these guys went all over the place talking about the Messiah had come, talking about Jesus and the kingdom. What's different about this that they need an ability? See, remember, everywhere the disciples went, the 12 and the 70, they would go and preach, and Jesus would come in town. He would follow up. So they would talk about Jesus, and here's Jesus. We can't do that. We've got to demonstrate that Jesus is alive without showing them pictures of Jesus. One way to prove that somebody is alive is to show that they're doing the same things now that they did before they crucified him. So what did Jesus do when he was alive? What was his ministry? Healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, setting the captives free, raising the dead. What's the proof that Jesus is alive? Wrap some stuff up here. First of all, there's three aspects of being a witness, okay? First aspect of it is being a witness of something. In other words, they were witnesses, they're witnesses of the ministry, life, and resurrection of Christ. So being a witness of something, okay? The second component of it is being a witness everywhere we ain't done. If there is one person who hasn't heard, the mission ain't done. Do you know they're saying that there's over 40 language groups that have never heard the gospel? Now you would think, in the day of modern technology, how could there be 40 people? When I'm talking about the gospel, I'm talking about telling people how to be born again. Now, at the end of the program, they'll tell folks, you know, you can accept Christ, I'll pray this simple prayer. But, I mean, when is the last time, other than when Billy Graham come on, have you heard somebody do a point-by-point message on how to be born again and why you need to be born again? We tell them folks a whole bunch. We tell them for all the other aspects of salvation, except that little three-minute thing they do at the end of broadcast. Well, I'm going to tell you, listen, if you got anything out of today's message, I want to pray a prayer with you. And if you pray this simple prayer, you're born again. That ain't the mechanics of it. Come on, man. Not the Reader's Digest version, not the instant coffee version of how you get saved. No. They need to know, first of all, some folk don't believe they sinners. Hey, one of the commandments, you're guilty of violating all of them. And the only reason why we can sit here and not be sweating bullets over that reality is because of what Jesus came and did. See, if it wasn't for the fact that Jesus paid the price, we would still have to pay the price. And the wages of sin, think about it. All you got to do is commit one sin, just one. You don't need 10. Because if Jesus had not come, you'd be in trouble. And there are a whole lot of folks that are going to hell because we ain't told them. Listen, you done broke God's law. He got to deal with you one way or the other. Either he going to deal with you based on you, or he going to deal with you based on his son. God raised him from by the working of his mighty power. Why did God have to exercise mighty power to get Jesus out of hell? Because the devil wasn't trying to let him go. Why do you think in Psalms, what is this? Is it Psalms 24 where it says, who is the Lord? Psalms 24 is the resurrection. Who is the Lord of hosts? the Lord stronger. Why do you think at the end of that he said, lift up your gates? What gates he talking about? The gates of hell, because he's coming out. Glory to God. Because he's coming out. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. See, this is what we need to be telling the world. Listen, you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to live like you living. Let me tell you something. First of all, do you know how many trillions of dollars we have spent trying to get people out of poverty? We declared a war on poverty and poverty won because we thought to solve a problem is throw money at it. That's not the cure for poverty. Poverty. Because they don't know how. First of all, they can't balance a budget. They trying to make us all poor. $14 trillion. You know you can't pay back $14 trillion. Do y'all understand that we now owe more money than we can pay back? And you know what they're going to do next year? They're going to spend more. You know why? Because y'all keep giving them permission. On the day of Pentecost, how did they get the attention of 3,000 people? A supernatural manifestation of the Spirit of God. Now, once God got their attention, then the word got preached. How in the world you think we're going to get the attention of the iPad generation? If you can't light up and turn yourself into an app, this guy is in court, in divorce court, and he mad because his wife, one of the things he expected of his wife was to buy him a new video game every month. His wife, not his mama, his wife. Now, Anthony, you've been married a while. You told Karen, I'm going to stay home. And now, I mean, he wasn't handicapped, not physically. Mentally, he got problems. But physically, wasn't nothing wrong with him. And if he gaming, that means his hand and eye coordination is pretty good. He can go get a real job. Gaming ain't a job. He was supposed to be in divorce court. In 2 minutes. Just give me 2 minutes. I'll be done. But see, the only way we are going to be effective in winning people to Christ in this day and hour where there's so many things vying for their attention and consuming the world's attention is you cannot win with debate. You ain't going to argue people into the kingdom. You're not going to wax philosophical. Paul preaching, when he got done preaching, they said, come back tomorrow. We're going to see what else this babbler got to say. Because the one time he get a big audience and he going to show off, instead of presenting the gospel, he going to start quoting their poets. He going to start trying to be, because he dealing with all these philosophers, see. So he going to try to get with them and talk to them like they talk. And the Bible said, the next come to y'all with man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith would not be in man, but in God. Paul learned that lesson almost 2,000 years ago. How come we think we're going to win folks waxing eloquent? I'm going to just say something. Can I be real blunt for y'all? We need to start scaring the hell out of some people. And then you can relate to him. But if you reject his methodology, you got to deal with yours. And let me tell you something. I want to clear this up once and for all. You do not have to believe in hell to go. Hell does not require faith on your part. You can go to hell doubting there's a such place. Everything that the church does is about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is anywhere the king has dominion. In other words, where he is being obeyed and acted upon. Our job as the church is to bring the kingdom to a lost and dying world. That's why the Bible talks about when you got born again, you got delivered from the power of darkness and transformed. One of the things that when Rob reads the thing out of Prayers of Avail, much to take the offering, he talks about we were sinners serving Satan. He was our God. Well, I had somebody get mad at me one Sunday. And they said, well, you know, I never served Satan. Oh, yes, you did. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. And until you are born again, you are a child of the devil, whether you like who your daddy is or not. If you're not saved, the devil is your father. Because, see, here's the thing. The devil can't add to his army, but we can add to ours. We recruit from his house. That's where we do the recruiting. We go into the devil's house and recruit his kids. Why not? He's trying to mess with ours. And every time somebody gets born again, and unfortunately, tradition has gotten us away from acting like Acts. Because we're scared. We're afraid. We don't let fear creep in. And let me tell you something, fear is sneaky. Because see, fear don't always make you shake in your boots. Sometimes what fear make you do is go left because you're afraid to go right. Makes little deviations in your course. You know, well, the fat kid gonna pick back. Unfortunately, everybody I picked on ain't appreciated. See, they can call me a name, but if I talked about them or their mama, they got offended. And I could, trust me, I send you home crying over your mama. Because, see, I figured if you were to talk about me, I can talk about the best way to go was straight. And, see, fear will always keep you from going straight. And it only has to get you to deviate just a little bit, go to the other side of the street. And one of the reasons why folks won't witness, we're trying to get teams together to go out. Everybody should have been volunteering, but that's okay. Everybody ain't going to feel like doing it. I ain't going to argue with you. But at some point in time, everybody in church needs to go out at least one time with our teams. We got a gift for you. We just want to tell you, you know, we're just going to walk with the neighborhood. We got a gift for you. Here it is. Bye. You ain't preaching to them all day. You're going to be gone. We try to make it easy. Now, I'm done, but I got an announcement I need to make. And then whoever's going to do altar call, I'm going to do altar call. Second Saturday in August, write this down. English, in Spanish, and in Korean that day, because we're reaching out to the whole community. You know, we're going to give away stuff, you know, hot dogs and some stuff and for folks to come. Like I said, we got music. We'll have all kinds of things. We have a group of folks assigned to pray for people, okay? We're going to have a bunch of other things. Now, while you're writing, it's going to cost us money to do this. Don't just give an offering to say you gave. I want you to make it, you know, if I told you I had a sure thing in the stock market, I got a stock to sell them for a dollar, but it'll go up to $100 in 2 weeks. And it's a sure thing. I guarantee you, none of y'all would just put in a dollar. If you knew it was going to multiply 100 times, you'd be throwing in as much money as you could because you'd want to return. We're going to have, like I said, we're going to have music. We actually got a Latino praise and worship band coming in, and they're going to be jamming, and I mean, and it's 18 of them, so they're going to make some noise. They're going to make some noise. And just so you understand, only four of them sing. The rest of them play instruments, so we're going to be rocking, okay? We got some Christian rappers going to be coming in. We got a bunch of stuff going to be happening that day, okay? We still working on putting some stuff together. In September, we're going to start a thing called a speaker series where we're going to be dealing with different subjects. Again, and we're going to be advertising that at the Unity Day, things on marriage and family, trying to get somebody to work, do a thing on how to keep your kid out of jail. And not how to get him out, how to keep him out. Amen. But some subjects and some topics that we can bring scripture and show people how God wants stuff done that will help. You can't fix it. Now, you can fix a broken window without Jesus, but you can't fix your life without him. You can't fix your kids without him. Your spouse can't get fixed without him. So there's no need in you thinking that the next program is going to help me fix this kid so he stops acting like the village idiot. See, Satan is trying to kill your family.